Welcome to the IntelliHR podcast, featuring ongoing dialogue and practical insights on HR topics such as future of work, performance and workplace culture, engagement, goal setting, and best of breed HR software ecosystems. We're based in Brisbane, Australia, and provide our SaaS analytics first people management platform to customers around the world. You can find more about us at IntelliHR.co. I'm Jared Hart, the Partnership Manager at IntelliHR, and today I'm talking with Simon, the Partner Manager over at GoOne. GoOne is an IntelliHR LMS integrations partner and are an established leader in online learning and education and work alongside some of the largest companies in the world. You can find more about them at GoOne.com. Let's get started. Hey guys, Jared from IntelliHR here, the Partnership Manager at Intelli, and today we're going to be talking about training. And so to do that, thought I'd bring my good friend Simon from GoOne, one of our partners, into the office today to have a little bit of a conversation. So Simon, I might let you introduce yourself and what you do and take it from there.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Yeah, great to be here. Working at GoOne, training's front of mind for us. My role at GoOne is to look after our partners. So that's everything from distribution partners to content partners who create that great learning content. So it's good to be here and talking about learning in 2020.
Yeah, awesome. Learning's always a great one, and training to really focus on. And I guess to start off with, why should a workplace or an organization invest in training or a learning management system or just learning development in general for their employees or as an organization?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting if you look at, as we go into a new decade, what's happened in the consumer world in regard to self-improvement and learning, and it's kind of mirroring what we're seeing in organizations as well. So if you look back 10 years, most people, the way that they consumed media and self-taught and learned themselves was very different to what we see today. You would go out and purchase individual CDs or movies or books when you wanted to learn more or consume that type of media. What we're seeing now is much more of a scenario where everything's at everyone's fingertips through subscription services or the ease of having the web on our phone so accessible, we can get to training and learning very quickly. So what we're seeing in organizations is if that method or that type of learning is not mirrored in the place that they're working, people can become very frustrated very quickly.
Yeah.
And they feel like their needs and their opportunities are being reduced by the technology or the structures that are in place within their organization.
Yeah, well, we see that from a HR perspective. The user or employee experience has just gone absolutely crazy. It'll be the fad for the next few years, and rightfully so. I mean, I always look at banking. You used to walk into a bank and have to do everything you wanted to do there, and then slowly transition to web-based, mobile-based. And now we've got applications that we can do anything we want with our phones. And last year, now you can transfer instantly. Like, it's just gone absolutely crazy. And we've got that from a consumer perspective and how easy it is to have that access. But now bringing that into the workplace, I think, has become a huge focus. I mean, myself, I want everything that I need or want from a workplace perspective at my fingertips, like you sort of spoken about. And training is no different, as I'm sure that you come across quite so regularly. Now, I didn't want to sort of jump into it too quickly, and I know it's not our favorite thing to talk about when we need to, but what is the importance of compliance when it comes to training and what you guys sort of do?
So compliance is the starting point, right? If we don't get that right, then organizations leave themselves exposed to all sorts of legal and other ramifications. I think an organization needs to be able to be sure that they can tick that box, provide the compliance training on demand at the right time to their employees. From an employee point of view, it might not be the most fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I think where organizations are trying to improve that situation is allowing their employees to access the compliance and mandatory training in the flow of work when it makes most sense and is most easy for them. That might be on the way home from work on their mobile phone, when they have the chance, when they're remotely working or at a certain point in their working day, they're able to access that compliance training and complete it there and then.
The flow of work is key in everything that we'll probably speak about today, and it's just making it a part of, I guess, what employees do and what an organization expects. I mean, we even see that with working from home and stuff. We need to be flexible in the workplace, and the way that we access something like qualifications and the compliance area things should be very similar. I mean, from, I guess, a user perspective, we always talk about employees want to be the custodians of their own data. So essentially, yes, it's all well and good that HR needs everything in place. They're on a one-way street to the legal department if they don't have it all sorted. But now employees are being more interested in making sure that their own information is correct and that they have control to change it if need be. And that they're actually going out and exploring. And I guess this is where all the training and the self-development thing sort of comes from as well. But that focus on giving the employee the power to do that themselves and empowering them through that is super key.
I think it's really important because when we talk about why training is so important to organizations, you only have to look at when people leave an organization after having a bad experience or they go and find another job. The statistics that say that up to 94% of them would have stayed in the job they were in if that company had invested more in their self-improvement or education. So if you're not providing your employees with that ability to improve themselves and access that training, then eventually they're going to get frustrated. Their employee experience is going to be a bad one and they're going to find somewhere else to work. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and it's giving the employees the power to take that on for themselves, and the organizations need to be able to support that. And this is an interesting one. Who's the first step? Employees are meant to go out and sort of, okay, we need help and push that, or should it be the organization really pushing that? And even if the employee's a little bit hesitant, eventually get them on board. What do you usually see?
Yeah, I think it works both ways, right? So you tick that, once you've ticked that mandatory compliance box, there's organizations out there who are doing some amazing things with setting learning pathways and giving people the opportunity to have a guided pathway to improving themselves, whether that's through upskilling or transitioning to different roles. We hear a lot about organizations having to change the roles within their teams and repurpose the skills of staff members to react to different projects that they're working on. So certainly we see a lot of organizations taking the lead and guiding people on excellent learning journeys. On the flip side, we see it as really important to enable an employee to start guiding their own personal development. So as we talked about before, in today's world, if I want to improve my project management skills, gone are the days where I want to put in an application and then 3 months later go to a face-to-face course about it, because it may be that I need that information really quickly. It may be that I want to test the water and see if it's of interest to me. And employees want to be able to guide their own learning and access that wealth of information that's out there as and when they need it. So I think it's really important when an organization's starting to put together its learning strategy to sort of consider both aspects. What do we want to give our employees to make sure it aligns to the company strategy and where we want them to go? But also, how much flexibility can we give the employees to make sure they're having a great experience and feel like they're able to upskill themselves and react to what's happening in their role?
And we always sort of see organizations sort of taking that next step, and instead of, you know, being on that reactive sort of side of things, they're looking at being proactive around that. So actually knowing before the employee might even know that they're sort of interested in exploring that. I think it's really key as well to be able to know that there's going to be both, I guess, professional learning and development, and then also from the employee self and the ability to be able to provide them opportunities to grow, even if it's not directly related to their role, is huge. And that's what you spoke about before, about employees looking elsewhere for jobs. And I think if we're focusing on the employee rather than their job, it just completely changes that as well.
That's right. And I mean, those roles that those employees are in are likely to be changing anyway. So we see in a lot of organizations that not only does strategy change, but the fundamental makeup of organizations changes so quickly now, and they have to repurpose. We see a lot more working in projects rather than working on a specific role. So employees may be working in a certain team on a certain project for a finite period of time, and then they're going to have to adapt and move on to something else pretty quickly. So where that is in place, we're not training people for a specific role. We're getting the best out of that person on the project that they're working on.
Yeah, you mentioned teams. I think that's a huge focus as well. We're seeing more and more, I guess, such a team focus around goals and planning and working together towards a certain project or anything like that. And that's changing from training to performance to how things are tracked in a system almost to the organization as a whole, because you've got a pod here or you've got an office there, and everyone's sort of banding together and sort of utilizing all their resources and I guess abilities to sort of to move forward together as in cohesion.
Yeah.
How do you guys sort of, or what are your thoughts around like team training and how do you guys approach that from, is it where you're looking to get everyone sort of trained together or is it sort of different depending on everyone's skills and abilities?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly times when organizations will want to push training to certain groups of individuals, whether that's a project team, whether that's a job specific role or parts of the organization that they want to be upskilled at the same time. That's certainly still very prevalent. What we see now with the use of collaboration tools and those sort of environments in workplaces is we can, even if we're learning as an individual, we can quickly share our learnings and what we've, the training that we're going through with the rest of the organization, with the rest of our team. So where we're finding a lot of organizations are complementing their technologies and looking at best of breed solutions is where they can complement some of the work they're doing on training and learning with some collaboration tools and fitting in with other parts of the organization to make sure that everyone's aware and able to share the learnings as they go through the flow.
Yeah, I think a lot of it would ultimately come down to, I guess, how people learn, really. And everyone's going to learn differently in an organization and want to learn in different ways. I know from our own team, like internally, we've got people who are readers, people that want to watch, people from our engineering team, they're all, one person will have one specific skill and they want to learn from the best in that skill. And they'll teach each other and learn from peer sort of training and I guess developing from that perspective. But it's just an understanding, I guess, from an organization perspective as well, that that's okay, that everyone wants to learn and train and develop differently. And being able to support that is key and a big part of, I guess, what we do and sort of understanding how best for that to work.
Yeah,
essentially.
And I think that's the beauty of, aggregated content libraries such as we have at Go One, is that you can then pick the best type of training for either at an individual level that's going to appeal to those individuals or at a team level or a job role specific level. Because as you said, everyone learns in different ways. If you and I were to go to an art gallery and look at a painting, we would have different opinions on the quality of that painting. It's quite subjective. It's the same for training and learning.
Yeah.
You know, we both go through the same training course. One of us finds it really beneficial because of the style, because of the content. The other one, it falls a bit flat. The subject matter might be the same, but there might be another way for us to learn that and another way for us to teach it. And if we have at our fingertips a huge wealth of learning content from different providers, then we're able to purpose that in the most effective way to the people who matter.
Yeah, I love the art gallery. Sort of, I immediately had my mind sort of racing around because performance comes straight to mind. And this is probably down back when we were in primary school, but we would go see the same art exhibition and then be given a sheet of paper asking us four questions and one person would be right, one person would be wrong. And that's completely changed for what we are now. There's no right or wrong, especially around something like that. And understanding that every person from a performance and development perspective is going to be different and therefore should be judged. And then you can pull in all your remuneration and stuff as well, but it becomes more of a discussion. And I guess less right or wrong. And there's more gray, which is always interesting in an organization.
Yeah.
Gray keeps the wheels turning and keeps entertaining, as I'm sure you sort of understand.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that organizations now are made up of, we don't want to segment people and create clones of people. We want people to be able to unlock their own creativity and add value to an organization and its culture. So we want to get as diverse and as different teams as possible working together. So we understand that those individuals are going to be motivated by different things, they're going to be excited by different things, and they're going to bring different skill sets to it. And so when all those different people are in that mix trying to access training and trying to have a great employee experience, that employee experience is going to look different for every single individual. So we can't just pigeonhole people and say, hey, if we throw this team this incentive, it's going to work for all of them. It's going to be what makes each person in that team tick, and how do we deliver the employee experience that each of them deserve.
I mean, we're not the recruitment specialists, but exactly what you sort of spoke about here. No longer do we go out and we want to hire four Bobs. We need everyone to be different, and we can focus on, I guess, the skills that they bring or their ability. I know for an engineering perspective, for them, it's actually the ability to learn and adapt and be fluid. that's what they're actually testing. And I guess we haven't sort of spoken about development too much, but how do you see training and development, I guess, work hand in hand? We've mentioned upskilling, and skills have been a huge focus from our discussion, but where do you see that going and working together moving forward?
So we know how important it is for, as you mentioned, for the employee to be empowered to own their own data and own their own journey. I think from a performance point of view, an employee can start to own their own learning and development as well.
Yeah.
They can start to understand which pathways are bringing them the most success and what they can then transfer to either other parts of the same role or other parts of the organization. And they can soon start to learn about the learning journeys that they want to keep going on and keep owning themselves. And I think in that way, when an employee feels empowered to own their own learning journey, it becomes much easier to then introduce new ideas to them and upskill them into different areas.
Yeah. Employee-driven development. That's, I reckon, 2020, here we come. That'll be a big focus moving forward. And to do that, it needs to be a mixture of training and having that readily available and supported by an organization. And to be able to provide feedback through that, and for us, obviously, feedback and continuous and understanding and growing of how an employee is developing within an organization is sort of feeds hand in hand. But thank you very much for the conversation today.
Anytime.
I think we've touched on quite a few areas of training, and hopefully it's been quite valuable for those people listening out there. But thanks for popping in. Really appreciate it. And if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to any of us.
Nice one, Jared.
Thanks for listening to the IntelliHR podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what you've heard, it'd be great if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends to subscribe. The dialogue in today's podcast is based on the best research of our presenters. Make sure you visit intellihr.co, where you can subscribe to our newsletters, where we cover more in-depth content about the topics we cover here.